Station, Talk Radio 790, KABC. It's Friday. We made it. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Okay, good stuff. I hope you're heading home. I hope you're off doing something fun because I am. Well, I'm doing something fun, not heading home quite yet. So, you know, I'll get to the TRO, the temporary restraining order, in a minute. Fresh off the presses here, but I'll get to that in a second. But here, there's something circulating out and about in the news that I think is an interesting. It's an interesting observation that I've made, because it's not just happening on the pages on the you know, Huffington Post and the CNN.com and the various other anti-Trump rags, but you've got even now, it's coming on to places like Fox News. It's kind of this growing, I don't know, some sort of unease, if you will. I saw a piece in the New York Post, which is also part of the Fox News family, a News Corp family, and there's a piece by Ralph Peters, who's a contributor on Fox News. You'll see him. He's a military analyst. And the title of the piece is "Bullying Mexico Will Only Make More Trouble for Us." And that's sort of the positivist piece. He's, you know, he thinks, well, so you heard about Trump. He had a phone call with President Enrique Peña Nieto of Mexico. And in the phone call, you know, he said, you know, hey, you got some problems, you know, with some drug cartel activity on the border. And if you don't clean it up, you don't take care of your bad hombres down there, I'm going to go send some people to, you know, come and clean it up for you. Meaning, I guess, plain language would be that he was going to send military troops into Mexico to help clean up the cartels. And everybody is having a cow over this. And there are two observations I have. One, that Trump is unpredictable and that he lays out some outlandish statements from time to time is not the worst thing in the world. I mean, if you have a leader who's totally predictable, if you have somebody in charge who's 100% predictable, then everybody who is dealing with this, our enemies, our partners, whomever, but when I say partners, everybody outside the U.S., it's us versus them, right? I mean, in any negotiation, you want them to be wondering in the back of their minds, what is this guy going to do? Because it sets up the second point that I have, which is, in the middle of a negotiation, the last thing you want to do is be transparent or be clear. And you want to be outlandish. Let me give you an example. Yeah, you don't want to be complimentary, you know, because the piece then goes on, this Peters guy, and I've seen it, not just him, I've not just seen it in the New York Post or Fox News, everywhere. The idea how Trump is so disrespectful. He's so, you know, what's the word? You know, he's so arrogant. Okay, you've heard that. Well, if you want something from somebody, you don't start by telling them how great that thing that they have is. Okay, I'm gonna give you an idea. Let's say you really like that new car you want to buy. You see somebody has a car you want to get. You don't go up to them and say, "Gosh, I've always wanted this car. What a beautiful car! Oh, it's lovely. Oh, I've always, and it's in the exact right color that I want." No, you tell them that car's a POS. And by the way, I always wanted it in red, so this blue one, you know, is not gonna do it for me. And I mean, you basically, yes, you set it up so that that person thinks, oh, well, all right, well, now I got to work a little bit harder to sell this. Trump is making a relationship with us difficult. I've told you before, the Mexicans need us. And he's also dealing with the guy. By the way, this is a problem because he's dealing with, but it's not a problem for us. It's a problem for them. He's dealing with, everybody's making this thing, you know, what's going to happen with our relationship with Mexico? He's dealing with, you know, Nieto's a lame duck. He cannot run for re-election. So when Peters, and he says this, you know, he goes, well, you know, it's not going to, you know, we're not going to get anywhere. You know, we're not going to get anywhere with Nieto because it's politically, no Mexican president or politically party could do so and survive. So, for one, there's no survival here for Peña Nieto I mean, he's out of politics. This is it. This is his swan song finale and over. His party, by the way, has only been in power for a few years. So a bigger party was, well, no, they were in power for a number of years. Then a different party came in, and then his party came back. So maybe he could hurt his party. But the bigger, you know, the interesting thing here is there's this idea, okay, that we owe something to Mexico. And I have always suspected that this happens with the leftists in America, because it goes back, yes, and Peters talks about this, it goes back to the Mexican-American War. So you know what happened back then, right? Now, Mexico held a lot of the territory that is now the southwestern part of the U.S. And what happened was is we took it. We waged war on them at a very politically, Mexico was politically weakened at the first stages of when the Republic came about, when they gained their independence from Spain. And we came in and we kicked their you-know-whatsies, okay? And then what happened is we paid them some money. But ever since then, and we got territory. We got Texas, we got Arizona, New Mexico, and California. But this is it. This is where my point's going. You know, there's this thing. Have you heard of the Reconquista movement? The idea is that, well, people, yes, people advocate this, right? That immigration up north, the U.S. Southwest should be politically or, you know, maybe culturally reappropriated. And this is a thing. This is a political movement in Mexico. And it's a funny thing. It's something that since, you know, there are a lot of people in Mexico that's for whom this is still a thing. Like they still want this territory they view as being part of their heritage. And it's part of why Mexico encourages immigration up north. It is. And nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to address this. It's a funny thing. And speaking of treatment, because one of the things about this wall and talking about this wall, not just who's going to pay for it, but how we're treating people that are traveling into our country. You heard this with the travel ban. We're hearing it with the wall. This is so unfair. This is so unjust. You know, I travel to Mexico occasionally, and my experience, this is my take on it. Mexico is actually one of the most difficult and challenging places that I travel to. Like when Sam Nation One lands in Mexico, it is by far the most difficult and most aggressive customs and border patrol system that I have seen anywhere outside of the United States. So I don't know if you've ever traveled. Have you traveled to Europe? You know, you go somewhere and they're pretty lackadaisical about it. They stamp your passport. They see you through. When I go to Mexico, this is an important point. I mean, when I go to Mexico, they scan you. They put all your luggage immediately through the X-ray. Heck, they don't even do that in U.S. customs. They selectively screen people. Every time I go down there, every person in the line is sent through the X-ray. It's sent through you have to walk through a metal detector. They go through your stuff. They look at your passport. And it's because they have a border. They have a border. They believe in their national sovereignty. So do you understand the absurdity of it when they don't believe they are trying to tell us what we ought to do with our border and how we ought to? Our border ought to be totally open for anybody who wants to go north. But heaven forbid when shifty old me wants to go down to Mexico. Oh, it's a big deal. You know, have you heard of the randomizer machine? Have I told you about that, Robbie? They've got this thing where you press this. You know, because they had a lot of people, they had a problem with people paying or bribing the officials to pass on inspecting your luggage. And so you have this randomizer, you press a button, and the button will basically decide whether, you know, it's at a random thing. Like if it's green, you pass with no inspection, and red, you have to, there's an inspection, and they do that in some of the smaller airports. But when you go into Mexico City, there's no every person, every time I've flown in there, they check me out. And so when I hear these stories about how, you know, this mistreatment of people and this narrative of how this wall is so dehumanizing, I think this is a question of national sovereignty. And this, the idea of Reconquista is there. You see it. You know, have you heard of this? I put it up on Facebook. I put up a picture of a, did you see this on Facebook? I just did it right before the show. Yeah, on the Sam Nation Facebook site. So you know that Santa Anna, the general that led the Mexican War effort, then later fought, you know, he's the one who, you know, killed Davy Crockett at the Alamo. So the U.S. military had it in for him. And at one point, after they had him, they got him to flee in a battle in Mexico, they were able to steal his leg because he had a prosthetic limb. He had a fake leg. It was made out of cork, leather, and wood. And they stole his leg. And they took it up to, where is it? It's in Springfield, Illinois. And they've got it in a museum. And there's this huge movement to try to get his leg back. It's been like this battle. It's been going on for 167 years. Let me tell you, we have an awkward relationship with Mexico. And it's not just because we stole the dude's leg. Okay? Robbie, you live in Santa Ana, so now you can tell all your friends, you know, hey, by the way, you want this leg back, you know, go to Springfield. Well, the funny thing is it belongs to the military, and the state of Illinois is really liberal, and they want to get the leg back to Mexico, but the military is basically, here's a middle finger, and you can kiss this leg goodbye, because we're keeping it forever. But there is a contentious relationship, and history matters. And the fact of the matter is that, yeah, I'm telling you, there has always been an economic and a cultural purpose behind mass migration north from Mexico. Cultural, because there, you know, Mecha says this all the time, right? I went to UCI briefly when I was 18. Oh, Mecha, Mexican, what is it? Oh my goodness, it's a student. Yeah, it's the group of student. You know, it's all over. But I think it's the student group that has that wants to add the basically California back to Mexico, right? And so then that's what they do, and this is what they advocate for. And it's absolutely you got to understand it. There's a cultural and political thing, but there's also a monetary benefit because there's an enormous amount of U.S. currency that flows back into Mexico. I mean, Western Union was around during the Pony Express, all right? There's a reason why in this modern era when we have, you know, phones and we have all, you know, we have flying drones delivering stuff for Amazon, we still have Western Union. And Western Union almost exclusively in business because of money going to Central and South America and to Mexico. So it's an economic thing. Well, and, you know, I want to talk. So, you know, bringing this all back to Enrique Nieto, Peña Nieto. So he's dealing with Trump. He's tremendously unpopular at home. Everybody's complaining about how Trump is, his approval rating's in the toilet. You know what Nieto's is, the president of Mexico's? It's 12%. I just looked it up. I mean, I don't know. That's like 1 in 10 people actually like him. And it's and so he's trans, but he doesn't have to. He's not running for re-election. He's not doing it. And did you see him in the meeting with Trump? What did I say? I remember I watched the meeting and I went on air and I said, this guy, if Trump becomes president, Trump is going to manhandle him. Is going to absolutely take this guy to the woodshed. It's the nonverbal communication was there that Trump was in charge. And the people of Mexico aren't going to like it. And they may end up electing their own Trump. And there is a guy coming up in the ranks. But the greater issue is we are spending so much time worried about Mexico's feelings, about how it's all going to be perceived. Let Trump go in there. Let him steal a fake leg or two. Let him up the ante here and see what he can negotiate. And by the way, when we're talking about how to pay for the wall, I've come up with some ideas. And so when we come back, I'm gonna give you those. So stay tuned. Sam Brzozowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
We don't fake news. We break news and make news. 790 KABC.
Brzozowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Or if you're in Mexico, Mirejovsky. True story. That's how I pronounce my name down there. And they can spell it, which is freaking amazing, right? Because no one can spell it here. Good. We were talking about that Trump just got, he's not being a good negotiator and working out treaties with other countries doesn't mean that you have to roll out the velvet carpet out for everybody, okay? You don't have to just use kid gloves and make everyone feel like $1 million. Sometimes you got to break a leg, or in the case of General Santa Anna, whose leg we actually have here in the U.S. in a military museum in Illinois, you just, I don't know, what do you do if it's already broken? You already have a leg up. There you go. Well, you know, I had an idea, by the way, on paying for this wall. So, you know, Peña Nieto, he's kind of a little corrupt. He is a little corrupt. But he's a Mexican politician. So, what, I mean, it's by what standard? So he apparently, there's rumor that the Juarez cartel financed a large part of his election, of his campaign. Talk about being owned by a special interest. So the Juarez cartel, and people like henchmen in the Juarez cartel end up getting promoted to government positions, things like that. So shady stuff going on. But I had an idea. Maybe Trump could make his own deal with the Juarez cartel, because he's got to figure out a way to make Mexico pay for the wall. So my thought was, follow me on this. You look, he's going to build the wall. It's going to create a little bit of a damper, I think, on the whole drugs moving across the border bit. But to the highest bidder, you know, if there was one of the cartels that wanted to step up and help co-finance the wall, I mean, maybe they could get like a fast pass or an easy pass, you know, like a little portal in the wall where they could, you know, like beep, beep, you know, and they could just go right through. I'm just saying. But when I, you know, when he said that bit about, do you hear this about, you know, he's on the phone with the president of Mexico, hey, clean that crap up or I'm going to send troops down and help you take care of it. First of all, I could see him joking, but obviously there's a kernel of truth to it. But I guarantee you that if, you know, the whole, Trump always talks about Iraq and how if he had gone into Iraq, the one thing he would have done is taken the oil. He'd have taken the oil, spoils of war, to help recover costs of the war and of the reconstruction. So I bring this up because it's just like that leg is a spoils of war. You know, you capture things in battle, you keep it. You know, 167 years later, we're still holding on to the leg. But Bush, of course, turned over all the oil in Iraq to the Chinese. We used to have guts as a country. That's the moral of that story. But the reason I bring this up is I'm telling you, if President Trump knew that there was a major amount of money moving on that side of the sand, okay, right there, just on the other side of the border, and the cartel was doing a major financial transaction, and there were millions of dollars to be had, I guarantee you he would send somebody in. I don't think he'd care. I don't. I think he'd go in and grab it. And then, you know, those photo ops, you know how you see, they do it all the time in Mexico. They have a drug bust, and then they show the masked police standing there looking all proud, you know, and there's a pile of cash and a bunch of bazookas and, you know, and AK-47s and, you know, just armaments. Maybe they've got a few guys on the ground zip tied. You know this picture. Well, I could see it as Trump would doing the photo op with all that stuff. He'd be sitting there grinning. He'd have the ICE and Border Patrol behind him, the DEA. Trump would be in the middle of it, you know, arms folded like on The Apprentice, you know, looking all pouty and mysterious. Oh, yeah. Yeah, with a gold AK-47, you know, he probably want to be in part of the action. I'm just saying, these are some creative ways that we could help pay for the wall if Peña Nieto doesn't want to pony up. So, with that, no, I'm telling you, these are all real options. All right, we got John Wolf with the news next. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC. Coming to you live, bottom of the hour, Friday night. We have made it. The weekend is almost here, and I'm so happy to be here. Now, we're talking about, and we're having some fun with this Mexico bit and everybody crying about Trump being so mean to Mexico, bullying Mexico. How many times have you heard that? Bullying Mexico. Yeah, and there's a great piece that just came out today. Was it today or yesterday? I think yesterday. By ex-president of Mexico, Vicente Fox, who you know he's got the big mustache. Tall guy, big mustache. The current president of Mexico is a little guy, cute little Polly Pocket. He's got no mustache, clean shaven. So that's how you differentiate between the two of them. I don't know if they, neither one of them has a peg leg that I'm aware of. But and in case you missed our first segment, I told you about how General Santa Anna of Mexico, who was responsible for killing our boys at the Alamo, ended up getting his leg stolen by some enterprising American soldiers who brought it all the way back to Illinois and have since put it in a museum. By the way, if you go, short aside here, if you go up to the castle in the Bosque Chapultepec in the heart of Mexico City, there's a castle up on the hill, and there's a museum of Mexican history, and they have another one of his legs, because presumably once he had that one stolen, he had to have a new one made, and they have that leg as the leg of President Santa Anna. He was actually also a president, I think 12-time president. Anyway, when they stole his leg in the carriage, nobody knows this, right? In the carriage, they found $18,000 in cash, which at the time was a whole lot of money. I don't know if you got it from the cartels or what the story was there, but at any rate. So all of this here, Vicente Fox, he's been the number one critic of President Trump. Before the election, he's called him a dumb white man. He's called him a ignorant buffoon, stuck in the old ways of the world. And it's funny, Vicente Fox is a globalist. This is exactly right. This is what I'm going to quote here. From where we come from and where we are going as a global society is a fact that new U.S. president doesn't wish to come to terms with. President Trump seems to be stuck in the old world. He is a man in crisis, desperately struggling to survive. Okay, I'm going to stop you right there, Vicente Fox. This is it. Think about all the factories that Trump, in the first, you know, week and a half, two weeks of his presidency, and even before that, when he was president-elect, think of all the factories that decided to not build factories in Mexico. Now, those jobs, by the way, stayed here, but those were jobs that did not go to Mexico. There's a reason why the peso has dropped some 20%. You know, this, whatever you want to call it, this thing right now is hurting Mexico more than it's hurting us. Do you get my point? This is not about being nice. You liberals, you just want to always kiss. Everything is just, I want to make nice. You are so stupid. It's not about feelings. You've got, this is a situation that needs to be rectified. There's a trade deficit. It's not right. The voters have decided they want this fixed. It's a big deal. It was a cornerstone of the of Trump's candidacy. And arguably, it's a legitimate, very legitimate part of his policy to pursue now as president. And he's doing it. And he's doing it the way he knows how, which is coming from it at it from a position of strength. And that does not mean being nice. It just doesn't. Now, sometimes you can get good stuff, you know, what is it, more bees with honey and that type of thing. And he knows how to do that, too. But I think right now there's a lot of posturing and Mexico is shaking about it. I mean, and you can see it. President's popularity, Nieto's popularity, 12%. Not good. Well, we have, is he here? Oh, good Lord. Sweet James is in the studio. Again, twice in 2 weeks. And we're going to talk about the Super Bowl. This is going to be good. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.
And Sam Rogowski here. Welcome back. So, Super Bowl. This Sunday, or so they tell me. And I read actually in the LA Times that Sunday is also the Super Bowl of car accidents, most of them drunk driving related. I guess there's a spike of about 77%. That and robberies, they always go up too because, you know, all these places that do pizza and different deliveries and things, they all have a lot of cash, Super Bowl Sunday. So, you know, if you're out and about, and you happen, well, just maybe don't be out and about. Stay home. But is that Sweet James?
It is.
Do I hear his sweet his sweet laughter? I thought I had a beard alert come on here. The dense beard of justice is in the house.
So good to be here, Sam.
Good. Oh, so happy to have you. Happy Friday. So I'm just saying, you know, what do people do? You know, they get into a car accident and some schmuck, you know. Who's fleeing a burglary or armed robbery, you know, hits them. What you got to do, you don't want to, do you want to talk to their insurance?
No.
Yeah, but what if they're just going to treat me really nicely, right? If I just go up to them, palms up.
Absolutely. They're going to treat you so nicely that they're not going to pay a dime, that you are an idiot if you do that. You are.
Well, I know. A lot of people do that anyway.
So. You know, and the thing is, the insurance companies prey on that. Just good, hardworking American people who trust people and expect to be trusted in return. And if they go ahead and they just go ahead and think, hey, I'm a good person, they're going to treat me right. It's just vital. It's just a mistake. It is. Unfortunately, you're up against a billion-dollar machine that is going to crush you.
All right. They're just going to have to call you.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's
all right.
It.
800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or you got a website too, right? Where lots of good pictures of you. Sweet James. SweetJames.com.
Are there pictures of me on there? I don't even know. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I looked at it and I liked it. Sweet James, AKA James Bergner, the attorney we trust in the house. Now.
Yes, sir.
James, you know, I rely on you to be sort of my seeing eye dog when it comes to, the sports. Because
right.
I'm literally a blind man wandering in the wilderness when
yeah.
it comes to anything related to, well, especially football. I am totally lost. Now, I understand the ball that they use in football is pointy. it has two pointy ends.
Right.
And then my understanding, too, is that it's brown.
Yeah, and let's edumacate you here on some football.
Well, okay, so here's what I want to know. See, so somebody asked me a week ago, said, it was my wife, actually. She asked me, talk about the blind leading the blind. She goes, do you know where the Super Bowl is going to be? And I said, oh, I think it's going to like be in New England or in Atlanta.
Right. Those are the teams that are playing, right?
Are they?
It is. It's the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons. Correct.
Okay. So now why is the game in Houston?
Well, there are 32 teams, and the owners of those teams meet, and they plan out where the Super Bowl is going to be years in advance. As a matter of fact, the next five Super Bowls are already determined.
Well, that's really anticlimactic, isn't it?
It kind of is. It doesn't. You don't necessarily get any home field advantage if you're one of the teams. So
could it be that a team that ends up at the Super Bowl is playing on their home field?
Correct. Yes. Next year will be Minneapolis because they have a new stadium. So the owners of the NFL get together and they say, where is it going to be?
Hmm.
And somebody says, hey, I've got a new stadium. Let's have it at my place.
Hmm.
Come on over. And invites everybody over. So Minneapolis has a new stadium. And the year after is going to be Atlanta. So they're 2 years too early. They're peaking early here.
Yeah, so now the smart money is on the Falcons, right?
I think the Patriots, actually.
Oh, the Patriots?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Now,
close. You had a 50-50 chance
now,
there.
I understand. Okay, right. Well, that's true. Now, something about... Now, Tom Brady, he's got a condition, right? Something with, like, he's got a problem with his balls.
He does.
What's this? I keep hearing this.
Yeah.
I keep hearing that Tom Brady has deflated balls.
Yeah.
And I think, frankly,
he plays
speaking,
with deflated balls, yes.
Is, wow, does Giselle know? That's what I want to know.
You know what? We'll know on Sunday if she's there or not. You know, we'll see.
I wouldn't hang around for a guy with with a deflated nutsack. I wouldn't. Can you stay with us?
Sure.
Okay. Sweet James in the house. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. Happy Friday, people. We'll be back after this short break.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
All right. Let's get right to it. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And we have Sweet James, James Bergner, lawyer extraordinaire, friend of the show, and my only sponsor. So I got to be nice to this guy, or I am, you know what? Speaking of deflated balls, that's how I'm going into this thing. So tell me, we're talking about the Super Bowl, and I'm getting a good education here. Now, where does Lady Gaga fit in all of this? I understand she's going to be doing the halftime show. Is that part of the game? I mean, is there a point system? And do you think she's going to come in an egg?
Ooh, that's a good question. Now, Lady Gaga will be there for the halftime show. It is not part of the game. However, in the Super Bowl, the halftime is extended for the extravagant performances. It depends. Who was it last year? Was it Katy Perry or the year before that? It went an extra 10 minutes. That's
the
famous Sharks.
Yeah, I remember that.
So Lady Gaga will be out there performing, and we will see.
What do you think the chances are of her getting political? Are people talking about this in the sports world?
You know what? I don't think there will be any political statement from her. I imagine that... I imagine her contract prohibits anything from being
really?
Political. Yeah, I imagine. The NFL's got some issues going on right now, and I think they want to run a tight ship to this Super Bowl.
Well, all right. Now, does Trump go to the Super Bowl? Do the presidents go to Super Bowl? No.
No, typically no, although the president does congratulate the winners. There's usually a phone call from the president.
Now, are any of the winners, are they maybe a little bit concerned about if they... Don't they visit the White House?
Yes.
Okay, so I heard one of the players was saying, I was just going to imitate how he said it, but no, he said he wasn't going to go to the White House if he wins. He's like already getting ahead of himself. he's like, I'm not going to the White House. So is that bad? That's bad form, right?
I think it's horrible form.
Uh-huh.
It's not about
politics, right?
This is
the one day when we're supposed to take a break from politics, right?
And the NFL has got issues with players kneeling during the national anthem. That is, some people have said that that's driven the ratings down, actually. So
are you talking about Colin Kaepernick?
He started it. Yeah.
That's the guy?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And others have followed. And it's just bad.
Yeah.
You know, no, nobody wants that. Good. What are you, now? What is a superhero slash lawyer slash bearded fiend do for the Super Bowl? Do you have fun plans?
I do. I'm going to go and I'm going to watch the Super Bowl. I'm going to eat until I'm so full I'm going to unbutton my pants and fall asleep until the manager of the local sports bar kicks me out.
Oh, that's good. Now, while I've got that image in my mind and I'm sort of moving it off to the side, you know, we were talking about Mexico earlier, and right. I don't want to draw you into an uncomfortable political conversation here, but I do want to mention, so they've got a president down there, Enrique Peña Nieto, and he's actually famous in Mexico for having plagiarized his law school thesis.
Really?
He's about 28% of his, now these are just odd statistics, uh-huh. but this kind of, you know, could be like football, like uh-huh. downs. Yeah. I think that's a statistic. 28% of his thesis was lifted from other famous authors. And so that's like almost one in three. Well, yeah, one in three of his paragraphs are somebody else's. And I wonder if he knows Antonio Villaraigosa, you know? I think that guy, speaking of downs. Okay. All right. Happy Super Bowl, everybody. We'll see you back here next week. Love you so much. Sam Rajofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790. Thanks, Sweet James.
Thank you. Chop, chop, he says I'm going to win big.